Well, greetings and welcome, all you commanders, eagles, and angels. This is Rainbird, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the Hard News on Friday Nights with Tara and Rama. We're so grateful you're joining us here, and we'd like to take a few minutes to set the tone for the evening. So let's take a few gentle breaths. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, slowly, gently, intentionally. We let go of that dross of the day. Go into your heart space and gather with your guides, your guardians, your spirit team, your healing teams, your ancestors, your totems, whoever you'd like to journey with the Kimi drum with. And there's a council fire. It's in the center. So let's gather around that council fire in that virtual way we know how to do. Come in close as we call in those seven galactic directions in the Mayan tradition with the Kimi drum. We welcome from the east the house of light. May wisdom open in the dawn that is upon us so that we may see things clearly. And we welcome from the north the house of night. May wisdom mature among us so that we may see everything from within. And we greet from the west, the house of transformation, where may wisdom be transformed into right action so that we might accomplish what must be done. We greet from the south, the house of eternal sun. May right action give us the harvest so that we might enjoy the fruits of the planetary being. We welcome from above, the house of paradise, where the star people and the ancestors gather. May their blessings reach us now. We welcome from below the house of the earth. May the beating of the crystal planet's heart bless us with its harmonies so that we might end war. And we welcome from the central source of the galaxy, which is everywhere at once. May everything be recognized as the light of mutual love. Ayam, Hunapku, Even Maya, Imaho. Ayam, Hunapku, Even Maya, Imaho. Ayam, Hunapku, Even Maya, Imaho. All hail the harmony of mind and nature. In my cash, I can. You are the other me. I am the other you. So just stay wherever that drum beat took you. We take a look at the record of days in the Mayan record. And the days are called kin. So today is the yellow magnetic star. We are beginning a new way. We just finished the way of the wave of the earth. The wave of Kaban, yeah, the earth. And we are starting the wave of the star. So it's an eight star is an eight. We love those eights. The number eight is tribe eight. So in its keywords are beautify, art, and elegance. Oh, what a wonderful wave. So the number one, magnetic tone. Three keywords are attracting, purpose, and unify. So, let's look at this mantra then, the yellow magnetic star. I unify in order to beautify, attracting art. I seal the store of elegance with the magnetic tone of purpose. I'm guided by the power of my own power doubled. So the stars are guiding power and our helper today, the ally is the monkey, Chewin. Our challenge teacher today is the mirror, Etznob. And our occult teacher today is Ben, the Skywalker. So that's what we're dealing with. Let's look at Lamont just a little bit more. This is a visionary aspect. And so we have this energy for the whole 13 days of the wave. So we have this visionary aspect. What a beautiful wave. And the illumination of humankind is what we're looking at, and opening that stargate. So we have these gifts of journeying and that pioneer spirit and having that power to see beyond. So let's let go of any dissonance or any self-doubt as we embrace these energies for today and for the entire wave, the next 13 days. That's like almost 2 weeks, isn't it? Okay, then moving on to Saturday. It's a Tumuluk. It's the red lunar moon. I love that one. It's the moon moon. So this is an artist aspect, and the Muluk is the way it's pronounced, and it's a task or just that wise use of rational mind in accepting spirit's direction. So tune in and listen. What is she asking us to do? And embrace these gifts of having that contact with spirit and remembering what we came here to do. And universal mind is our mind. And we're using our telepathy and practicing it with this energy. So let's let go of any insensitivity, any attachment to omens, or any self-doubt. Let's re-embrace these energies tomorrow on Saturday. And then moving on to Sunday, it's the three oak, the white electric dog. So nothing like an electric dog. This is an artist aspect, and it's about unconditional love and feeling the pain of the past. Healing the pain of the past. I didn't need to say that right. Let's embrace these gifts of that contact with spirit guides and our awareness of destiny, our awareness of past lives, and our loyalty to humankind on this Oak Day on Sunday. And it's electric, so it's active. That's one of the organic tones, very active. Let go of any fears or any unwise use of anger as we embrace these energies on Sunday. And then on Monday, it's the 4-2-1, the blue self-existing monkey. This is another artist aspect, and it's about balancing work and play and paying attention to clarity of mind and that wise use of magical artistry. So let's embrace these gifts of innocence and spontaneity, that ability to play and laugh and just lighten your load. And let go of any insensitivity or jadedness or any resistance to compassion as we embrace these energies on Monday. And then on Tuesday, it's a 5-Eb, which is the yellow overtone human. So Eb is the human. This is the healing aspect. The overtone is that activation tone. It's like the top of the pyramid. So it's about enlightenment of humankind and activating cosmic consciousness. That's absolutely. So let's attune to spirit and embrace these gifts of being that human servant warrior, the gifts of abundance and connecting with other dimensions. So let's let go of any dependence on the analytical mind as we embrace these human concepts on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, it's a 6-Ben, the red rhythmic skywalker. And it's also the first quarter of the moon. And we're still in this ecliptic energy, and we will be for this will be the week after, and so it's the week before the next eclipse, which is a lunar eclipse. So this is a big day. Let's pay attention to these ecliptic energies as we are in that season. So Ben is a warrior aspect, and it's about focus. It's about striving towards self-illumination, and it's about clarity. And we have these gifts of strength and that ability to bend dimensions. So let's let go of any resistance to faith or any belief in aloneness as we embrace these energies on Wednesday. Then Thursday is a 7 Keeb, the yellow resonant warrior. Keeb is the warrior wait a minute, where did I get to? Magician. I didn't do that right. I forgot it's the magician. All right, now I've got it. look at my notes. Look here. All right, so the magician, Ish, the visionary aspect, and it's about illumination for others, clarity of mind and purpose. And it, we just embrace that shaman energy, that jaguar medicine and integrity, and working in accordance with divine will with this energy on Thursday, and that seven tone, that resonant tone. And so let's let go of any control, any personal power issues, or any manipulation as we embrace these energies on Thursday. And on Friday, it's a man, the eagle. And it's an eight men. So this men energy is a visionary aspect, and it's about it's that eagle energy. We see that big picture. So we have that commitment to service and moving consciousness to source and reconnecting with all creation with this eagle energy. Let's embrace these gifts of independence and belief in self and let go of any feelings of despair or dissociation and the illusion of separation. And then we'll talk about it some more next week when we come back. So there you go. That's for the week. And next I want to, let's see, what else is next? Oh, yeah, the housekeeping. Yeah, and we're doing, this is one of the best housekeeping reports ever. So we are a listener-supported radio program, and it's each of us that make it happen. So this week we need $25 to have our commitment for next week, and that's all we need, and that's wonderful. Just $25 for BBS Radio. So go into your heart space, see what is yours to give. Maybe we can get even further ahead for the week after. Anyway, here's that's how you do it. You go to bbsradio.com, and there on the homepage you see the schedule for Radio Station 1. Click on that and look up the hard news. That's how it's indexed on Friday nights at the 8 o'clock hour, and you'll see an icon there. Click on that. That takes you to our account with BBS Radio. We're using your bank card. You can make a donation in any amount. And then we have a program on Saturdays on Radio Station 2, and it's indexed as the True Histories. So it's the True History and the Sarah and our Galactic Origins with Tara and Rama. That's the long name. Anyway, you'll find it listed at 3:30 hour on Radio Station 2, and just click on that icon and make your donation any amount using your bank card. So there you have it. Thank you so much for taking that action. We're so grateful. And we're also assisting Tara and Rama with their bills, and they need $200 for living expenses, and all their bills are up to date right now for this week. So we are so grateful that they got it. And so here's how we make a donation to Tara and Rama. You go to paypal.com, and the sending address you need to use is as follows. Koran, K-O-R-A-N, 999949@hotmail.com. And I'll say it again. Koran 9999@hotmail.com. If you want to send a check or a money order, you can do that to this address, Ram D. Berkowitz, R-A-M D. Berkowitz, B-E-R-K-O-W-I-T-Z. Post Office Box 280-280. That's in Santa Cruz, New Mexico, the zip code 87567. I'll say it again, Post Office Box 280, Santa Cruz, New Mexico, zip code 87567. So there you have it, all the information, and I also want to give you the web address if you want to go there. That address is rainbowroundtable.net. And there you'll find all kinds of information about the Nisera, the history of Nisera, the people Rama talks to, a little paragraph about each one, and all kinds of fabulous photographs and other links and things. So you can go there for the updates as well that Rama gives. And at the end of the website, you will see a GoFundMe, and that's for just helping Tara and Rama get with their just extra medical needs for staying healthy and happy. So that's there if you wish to make a donation there. So 13 thank yous, honey, in the heart. So much gratitude for all of you. And I'm going to pass this talking stick. Oh, and it's very galactic. It's very much all about the stars. That's very interesting. So all this planetary lineup, there's just lots of galactic energy. There's all the rays and flames and the universal laws and very high vibration, fifth dimensional talking stick. So greetings, Tar and Rama. Here comes this talking stick. Welcome.
Greetings.
All your commanders, eagles, and angels.
Thank you, Rainbird. Thank you, everyone. We are so grateful to be here to share the good news that this story is shifting. As we're having this little chat in a quiet corner of the western spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy.
I wish good vibrations on to Cheryl as she continues to recover.
And good vibrations to our sister Padme. Birthday continues.
Yes.
Yes. Happy birthday, sister. Things are moving right along at quantum light speed. And today I sat with four deer, eight crows, and one snow white cat over at Sun Mountain. And we all did the Gayatri Mantra for world peace for about 12 minutes. It was hot. 93 at around 11, almost 10 minutes to 12. And oh my God. Then I received a text message from Mr. Axon number 15. Number 15 is one of the wingmakers who taught the King of Swords everything he knows. And Mr. 15 said that this is the end. Everything's unraveling right now. And it is in our best interest to work with the violet flame and send more love. And the healing rays, these ancient life forms, are needing so desperately right now as they fall apart live in living color on stage. It is a drama, I don't know where to go with it other than to say, this character, the occupunk in the White House, likes high drama, reality. This is a reality show of sorts, and it is about the downfall of the ancient Anunnaki Empire. More and more stories are coming out about the Holy Land, and the original story of Enkidu, and Gilgamesh, and Enki, and Enlil, and Ninhurtzog, and Igigi, all these different Anunnaki gods that interweave their stories with Isis, and Osiris, and Set, and Horus, and Yeshua and Magdalene and Mother Mary, this whole drama that's going on is about this completion of this 26,000 year cycle where we don't have to play with Jehovah, Lilith, and Lucifer anymore. It's over. Yet they're playing their final moments out right now, and it's, you know, send more love because they are not using the law of one and how to work with the frequencies of the violet flame. And so they need a little help. And we are being requested kindly by the forces of light to send them more love, even if they don't like it. And it's a big deal because as we can stay in a neutral, conscious place of compassion and gratitude for being here to witness this and experience it in our own selves, what shadow work did we do in the past, in the present, that interplays with this very ancient story of not just, you know, the wars going on here, but interplanetary, intergalactic. This is why I say this story is 26,000 years old. The Mayans, you know, shared their version of how the calendar changes with the cycles of how Quetzalcoatl returns. And all the other living masters, the Lord Aramumuru, Katumi, Saint Germain, Lord Lanto, it is at this time these folks are all here, and the ancient legends and stories are absolutely real, yet this screws with the story of the, you know, so-called good book. I don't know what to say about that statement except to send more love about the stories, but they're not, you know, rape and murder and bribery are not what Yeshu and Magdalene taught. And that's what's going on right now. And it is being exposed. I'm not going to go into gossip, but, you know, there's stuff going on in the Oval Office that it is completely unraveling. And our sister Cheryl has, you know, put together all these videos of how the various people like Mel Lawson and others that come to mind that are telling the stories of how this, you know, needs more love in order for it to grow and expand and come to completion and closure, even if they don't want it. It's part of the grand cycle of what's happening. And I'm gonna pass the talkie stick here to Alexander Quinn, talking about what comes next after the solar eclipse, because this is gonna go on for 6 months, and the ripples in the virtual pond where somebody dropped a boulder, a pebble, into the virtual pond in the galaxy, and the ripples of the solar eclipse expand out. There was a 7.7 earthquake today. This is what I mean. Kilauea in Hawaii.
It's been erupting on a regular basis for a long time now.
The lava flows in Kilauea are matching as high as the, you know, steam that comes out of that blowhole at Yellowstone. That's quite high into the sky, that lava. And as that lava were to hit you, well, you know, place a violent fire. Mother Pele, Mother Kali is teaching us a lesson about the primordial energy. This is anima in animas, this yin-yang. This is the creation story that's happening in that land right now. There's also a possible hurricane that is going to hit Hawaii in the next few days.
Which island?
Hilo, I think.
Oh, that's a big island.
Yeah. And, you know, blaze the violet fire, send more love.
And Kilauea is on the big island, too.
Yeah. I mean, Mother...
That's a serious matter.
Mother Gaia is saying, calm the things down that have to do with the consciousness of conflict. And Greg Braden's talked about this. The consciousness being raised to the highest levels in the conflict and the weather changes, climatic changes, climate disruption. It's not a joke. It's real. And things are moving in our favor for this. You know, we already are in new heaven, new earth. And I better stop talking and give this over to Alexander Quinn.
Okay. This is 16 minutes and 13 seconds.
Yes.
And it says, is the solar eclipse, which happened on the 12th of August, really over? Question mark. Now comes the aftermath. The solar eclipse on the 12th of August may be over. Yet energetically, I believe the real story is only just beginning. One of the greatest misunderstandings surrounding events like this is assuming that everything is supposed to happen on the date itself. Yet what as the eclipse wasn't the consequence? What as it was a trigger? Think of a stone hitting the surface of a perfectly still lake. The impact lasts only a moment. However, the ripples continue traveling long after the stone has disappeared beneath the water. That is how I want you to think about what happened 48 hours ago. Well, Rollin, you printed this out a little while before now. Yeah, 2 days ago. Okay. Today is the
14th.
Yeah, that is 2 days ago. Okay. The stone has already hit the water. Now we watch the ripples. In this video, I explore what I believe the eclipse has now set into motion. Why some of the most important changes may take days or even weeks to become physically visible. What time is it, honey?
Oh, 7:37.
Okay. What to watch for within our own lives. Why some people may be experiencing exhaustion or emotional changes. And how the solar eclipse leads us into the next stage of eclipse season. The event has happened. Now comes the aftermath. That's just for membership. That's okay. Let's do this.
Here we go.
Recently, everybody was watching the sky, but that is not where the biggest changes will be found now. Yes, the extreme weather phenomena will continue in the days and the weeks going on. But one of the biggest misunderstandings at this moment in time surrounding events like the solar eclipse on the 12th of August that we just passed is the assumption that the date itself is supposed to contain the entire event. We arrived at the 12th of August. What happened? Everybody watched. Everybody waited. And then the following morning, some people looked around and said, well, that's it. Nothing happened. but that fundamentally misunderstands how the energetic window of the 12th actually works, because the 12th was not the consequence. It was actually the trigger, like a gun, like a bullet being fired out of that gun that was too quick for people to energetically notice. Another way to see it is to think about dropping a stone, for example, into, say, the center of a very still lake. Now, the impact itself lasts about a second. But what happens because of that impact, it continues long afterwards energetically. Because if you've ever put a stone in a pond, you get those rings that go out as they start to move away from the center. And what happens is they travel further and further out, and eventually they reach places in that lake that were nowhere near the epicenter of where you dropped that stone, where the impact actually was. And this is how I want you to think about the eclipse that happened on the 12th of this month, because we're now beginning to watch the ripples actually play out energetically, non-physically, and physically in reality. And this is precisely why I deliberately waited until after the eclipse to make this video, because I was never actually particularly interested in making another video telling my audience about watch out for the 12th and here's the build-up, because that's not how this energy works. I'm much more considerably interested in asking what the 12th has now set in motion, because set in motion, it really has. And let me explain why. Consciousness and physical reality do not move at the same speed on Earth yet. In a much higher ascended version of Earth, in the future version of Earth, in our future, they will. But we're not quite there yet. An internal shift can still happen instantaneously, because you can realize one moment that a relationship is suddenly finished, or a job no longer represents you, or something that you desperately wanted suddenly doesn't have any meaning anymore. And that realization can happen in seconds sometimes. But reorganizing your physical reality around that realization can take days, sometimes weeks, months. It can sometimes even take even longer. And sometimes that space between the internal shift and the eventual physical expression energetically is where we find ourselves now in the aftermath of this eclipse that happened on the 12th of this month, because the trigger has now occurred. But what it initiated will continue to unfold for many days and weeks from that point onward. Because on Earth, we're not yet a fifth or sixth density vibration collectively yet, where thought creates instantaneous manifestation. However, for recent weeks, the energy of Earth and the changing vibrations placed a massive emphasis on acceleration and amplification, which I've been talking about in recent videos, and bringing things forwards to the surface. Then the 12th came, and the function of that energy suddenly changed, or what people call the eclipse. And so the eclipse actually occurred approximately 20 degrees of Leo, close to the South Node. And that is important because Leo concerns identity, visibility, and how we express ourselves within the physical world. But just more simply, the eclipse now places pressure upon the distance between who you have been and who you're now becoming. And this is where things become really interesting. Or if we just go back to the ABCs, the basics of endings and beginnings, but I'm going to go much, much deeper than that. Because an eclipse does not necessarily walk into your life and manufacture a completely new problem. Very often, it illuminates or it intensifies something that was already there. The relationship that already had a fracture. The dissatisfaction that was already present. The truth already known somewhere underneath the ego, underneath the personality. And this is why the aftermath can sometimes appear very dramatic, from the outside, it can look as though somebody suddenly changed their life overnight. They can suddenly look like they resigned from their job. They've suddenly ended a relationship. They've suddenly moved. They've suddenly changed direction. But consciousness will very likely have been moving towards that moment for months or weeks in many cases. And so the eclipse simply becomes the point at which maintaining the old configuration requires more energy than allowing the new one to actually emerge. Or going back to the ABCs of energy, endings and beginnings, yeah? Most simply. And that is the first ripple that I really want all of you to start watching out for now. But because we are already deep into the aftermath of the 12th of that event. And I want you to now watch what has no longer, or shall I say, look out for what you want now and what has become harder to pretend you don't know, or what suddenly feels exhausting to maintain. Watch where your tolerance has already started to change. Watch the conversations that now begin seemingly happening out of the blue, and watch what returns to your consciousness, perhaps, after months or maybe even years of silence, because one way or another, something has already begun moving. Energy does not sit quietly stagnating. It constantly wants movement and transference. And the first stage of an aftermath, such as the 12th, such as this month's eclipse, is not always physical action. Very often, the first glimmers actually begin with a subtle shift in your perception. That was not there before. And the way to notice it, if you're wondering how to do this, is to see when something feels different. Something you previously tolerated feels harder to tolerate now, because once perception genuinely changes, physical reality eventually has to reorganize itself around it. There is no other way, because reality is consciousness made manifest. There's no getting around it. This is also why some of you may have felt extraordinarily tired around this time. We've moved through several energetic peaks with almost no integration space between them. So from an energetic perspective, consciousness has been moving rapidly while the body, the nervous system, and the personality have been attempting at the best they can to catch up. And yes, there will have been a whole load of physical, an array of physical and ascension symptoms that would have come up. So these first couple of days following the eclipse may have felt strangely anticlimactic for some. For some, as a result of that. And I'm going to tell you why, because there may have been more tiredness, emotional flatness, brain fog, unusual dreams, or a need for solitude, or simply the feeling that something is just different. However, don't always immediately interpret that if you are feeling that there's something being wrong, because energetically there is an important difference between nothing happening and something integrating, because sometimes the quietest part of a transformation occurs immediately after the loudest part. So the solar eclipse does not exist in isolation either, because we've just entered an eclipse season. And that continues towards a partial lunar eclipse in Pisces at the end of August. So right now, we are effectively standing inside a corridor of not one, but actually two eclipses. The first was a trigger. And we have experienced this a couple of days ago. The second, still ahead of us, and what I would describe as the energetic difference between them, is that the solar eclipse initiated change. Again, the ABCs of simple energy, endings and beginnings, yeah? But the lunar eclipse then reveals the emotional consequence of that change. So what was triggered through identity, direction, or if you want to just call it expression, 2 days ago, if you're watching this video on the day of me launching it today, has now been moving through the emotional body. And so for some, that will be a very, very interesting time when that lunar eclipse turns up. And I'm not going to say anything more about that for now. But interestingly, when we turn away from our individual lives and look at what was happening collectively around the eclipse, we find the world is already displaying extraordinary levels of pressure. And I want to be extremely careful here because I'm not suggesting that eclipses cause earthquakes or war or volcanic eruptions. But what interests me is something incredibly more subtle. If energetic windows correspond with periods of heightened pressure revelation, reorganization within the collective consciousness, then we should expect the physical world around them to provide mirrors of themes that are already developing. And so you will inevitably now, in the days and the weeks after, be able to see this play out in world news and events, because it always does. And so if you're asking, so what happens now? This is where I think the eclipse story becomes considerably much more interesting, because the physical consequences may only now be beginning to reorganize themselves. Because if the 12th was the stone entering the water, the next several weeks are the rings moving outwards. The different rings will reach different areas of our lives at different times. And this is why I would strongly encourage you not to look back at the 12th and say nothing happened, because that is not ever how the energy of eclipse ever works. Because unless you are deeply aware of your own internal movements and the movements of the collective consciousness of Earth at the world soul level, then you may not actually know what happened yet until you are actually seeing it play out as evidence in your physical reality. And so some of the first parts of the evidence are now beginning and will begin to appear. They can't not. The energy moving in now is specific, very, very specific. And I predict it's going to allow conversations to happen that could not happen before. And information is going to suddenly arrive for some of you. Something you could not articulate before the eclipse may suddenly become more obvious, or a truth that previously was difficult to acknowledge is going to become impossible to ignore. And for some, there may even be an unexpected feeling of relief that'll suddenly occur, even though you don't have the story to attach to it to validate it. But please understand something really important. Relief does not necessarily mean the process is finished. Sometimes relief arrives when you have finally stopped fighting what you already actually know. Then we move towards the 21st of August, and this is one of the really important first dates I would genuinely watch, because this is where the aftermath begins really encountering reality much more visibly. When the 21st arrives, the energy will be suddenly beginning to change in the direction within just only 24 hours, moving us away from the focus of identity and self-expression into the practical question of, now that I know who I am becoming, what actually needs to change in my life to support it? And that will require physical action. So the energy of that day will go from shifting incredibly quickly, just in 24 hours, from thought to action. What you've been thinking about and what must now happen in physical reality, which will require movement. So an eclipse is never about, we saw the moon cross the sun, now it's over, let's get on with our lives. An eclipse is always a trigger that creates energy to move there afterwards. And so the eclipse is really just beginning. Watch out for the changes, because energy is moving.
And we're going to go to the conference call now. That was quite awesome.
Thank you, Rama, for finding him. I remember when we were playing him a long time ago.
Yeah, Cheryl sent this out. It's what it's telling me is now just send more love to the situation in 19.5 degrees, Washington, D.C. I can say it that way in a good way. 19.5 degrees is the geometrical mathematical convergence of that place where the energies come in, just like the Giza pyramid.
Yeah, and it's connected to Hawaii. So
yes,
the volcanoes going off now, the Mount Kilauea going off, is directly sending the vibrations to Washington, D.C.
Yes. And the conference call number is 720-716-7301. See you there. Sat Nam.
Hare Sache. Greetings, Mother. In our life, most radiant life, in the office of Christ, and only in the office of the Christ, we invoke the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Vibrations. We ask at this time, Mother, you got a visitor.
Yes.
Mother, it's been a whole week. Where have you been?
We have been. Greetings, everyone. We have been to several intergalactic councils concerning the situation here about our wayward children. Things are moving right along to take them to Draco's, because the time is nigh where this solar eclipse, new moon, next full moon, lunar eclipse, the energies are such that what you call time is speeding up to be able to shift the reality here to one of joy, ecstasy, balance, kindness, compassion.
Well, we got a good downpour of rain. We don't hardly ever get any rain. So I think it's clearing the atmosphere.
It is clearing the energies at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is because we are making a difference in the quantum field.
All of us.
Yes. There are more of us that have become awake, so to speak, to the universal energies than ever before. We make a difference.
That's really good, Mother.
Yes. This is why our wayward children are acting out in various ways, because they know their time on the planet is done. And what comes next, we won't make light of the matter in a sense, we've made jokes, as you call them, about going to Draco's.
And Mordor.
And Mordor. And in many ways, we are living that out right now in Gaza City. It is not pretty, not fun. It is the reality.
It's a making of two characters, Netanyahu and Donald Trump, to be precise, Mother.
There are no jokes to be made about genocide. Yet, what is happening is the energies are shifting for the better, where there will be accountability and disclosure. Pretty much all of the G7 and the other countries connected with the UN have turned their back on Trump and Yahoo. And they are saying, we do not wish to communicate with you any longer, since you are not coming from a balanced point of view. Because set aside all the wars and the situations that have to do with the human side of this story, the climate disruption and the energies that conflict has created, along with consciousness, everybody's becoming aware of the fact we live in a multiverse, and it is for the highest good of all concerned to respect our fellow neighbors, whether they live 4.1 light years or 80,000 light years across this galaxy. We are all neighbors. We all have a role to play how we exit what Mel was saying, the parasitic, that consciousness that doesn't serve the greater whole.
Me, 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 me.
Yes.
Instead of greed. We.
Greed does not serve anyone except to create more samsara. And that is complete.
We always have more. You're never satisfied, Mother.
That comes from that old shadow energy that is like a hungry ghost. And no matter how much you feed it, not enough. And that's where we get to come in and send these energies back to creation chambers. You could say, right now, Kilauea is a creation chamber. That new earth that is pouring forth in the form of lava, plasma, all the elements are involved in the physical substance you call plasma. There is gold, there's silver, platinum, copper, the iridium, erodium, sacred stones from the breastplate, the magic of what makes up the elements, earth, air, fire, water, ether, us, the cat, the dog, the horse. We're all interconnected, entangled is the word within this quantum field. That is a good thing. And what's happening is more and more are becoming aware of the quantum field and their role, how to work with it, play with it, experience what it has to share as more tune in. It changes us as well.
You mean you, Mother?
You, me, Pinky V. Yes.
I haven't heard you say that in a very long time, Mother.
It is about this magical story that we, with the other great silent watchers, began long ago. Now, the puzzle pieces are fitting together.
In general, the masses of the whole planet want peace, Mother.
They want peace.
No more wars.
They can see the concept of the song, "Where have all the flowers gone? Gone to graveyards."
Everyone.
Yes. War does not serve any concept of logic. And that's why in the stories of our planet, the other planets, that concept of conflict has ended. It is only this little right here, heaven on earth, as Carl Sagan called it, the blue-green dot in space that seemingly is long not alone by any means. So many trillions of voices that resonate with this song of the circle of life here. Every part of this earth.
That Lion King song, you mean?
Yes.
Simba. Simba got in a lot of trouble.
Yes. So did we.
You did?
Metaphorically speaking, all of us did. Got in a lot of trouble when we decided to descend into matter so we could play the game. Have we learned our lesson?
You mean one-upmanship game?
The game of life, meaning that we came here to share the wisdom of the universes, all seven of them, not just this one.
Seven super universes.
Yes. And somewhere along the way, we got lost in the garden because it is so magnificent, this heaven on earth called Gaia by Wamas. This is a garden, has always been a garden. Yet, it's going to take all of us and a little help from your friends how to clean stuff up. And it's not going to take Windex.
No.
It's about love. It is the greatest cleanser in the universe.
No more war, Mother.
No more war.
The bullies are going to have to step down.
Yes.
We're going to get a little help.
They are indeed. They're going to get a lesson in compassion, gratitude, graciousness, how to be civilized. What a concept.
Who's going to give them that lesson?
Of you, of us, great silent watchers, who will come to Dracos with other ship counselors and mediators so that they can get a bearing on how to heal the wounds inside them that are as large as black holes. Where does that darkness come from? It comes from traveling across millions of light years and then some.
Not caring, Mother.
Believing old concepts that were lies to begin with, separating the heart from the mind. What does Lucia Vera do? Offer the kingdom with all its splendor and gold. Oh, and the gold is real. Yet, can't take it with you, can you?
I saw Drump sitting in that oval chair in the Oval Office, and all these things, he's got them all, everything in there is laminated with gold. He's just crazy about gold.
Yes, gold-plated latinum.
Yes, that Ferengi.
Yes, he is no Ferengi. He has no concept of economics.
No, do you see they do?
Well, they're a little greedy.
To say the least. It's a very long story.
Now it's time to put it to bed. And all of us, we got light years to go. Better go play Steve Nobel, hand it talking stick to him.
Let's see, what time is it?
It's 30 minutes.
Okay. Mother, thank you so much. Do you have a good word for us until we meet again next week?
I do work with these energies of this new moon solar eclipse and what was shared. It is about going deep within, changing and observing the changes, interacting with them in loving presence. War is not the answer, or conflict, or adversarial ideas, conditions. Send more love to our wayward children.
In the light of most radiant heart, the dosh, 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 out of light, shalom, the dosh, 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 out of light, shalom, the dosh, dosh, dosh. Martin, stay, Mother. Adonai, Basu, Baras. So much love, everyone. Remember who we are, right, Mother? Love is the answer, everyone. Just got to give Ramos just a moment here, momentito, to come back in his body. Mother's on her way, I'm sure. Snoring. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
Are you back?
Getting there.
Where have you been?
I have been sitting on Taos Mountain once again, listening to the hum. And then I found myself sitting on top of the head of the Sphinx in Egypt, and I was hearing the hum. And then I found myself on Mount Kailash, sitting in the snow, and I heard the hum. And it's, you know, this
linking up the whole planet.
The hum is the electromagnetic generators, subetheric generators that run the planet, that they can't destroy. It's larger than I know how to describe, because they're living machines that were set up here by the great silent watchers, in a sense, before the story. First there was the darkness, then there was light, then there was water. And that's a weird story too. I don't know where to go with that. Yet the subetheric generators have always been here as part of the mechanisms of Mother Gaia to keep things functioning within normal parameters, as her guidance system, her balance. They are stabilizers, to use Star Trek words, terms. They stabilize the planet in orbit, the subetheric generators, and they change their hum up and down in the scalar waves of energy. It's big. And I should probably start playing this.
Yes, we better get started.
Here we go. This is Steve Nobel.
Okay, we'll go 1 minute after the top of the hour, BBS Radio, because it's 9:31 and it's 30 minutes long. Here we go.
It's coming.
Ascension News, the portal of Sirius and the return of the goddess. At this time of the opening of the portal of Sirius, that happens around the same time each year, I would like to speak about the returning energy of the goddess. And just to give you the heads up, this brief talk ends with a meditation inviting the goddess to return to our energy fields, creating space for an inner marriage between divine feminine and divine masculine. The energy of the goddess was very present on the earth plane throughout the civilization known as Lemuria. Actually, the Lemurian year is said to have revolved around the rising of Sirius. After a long and magical golden age in Lemuria, there was a shift in the evolution of the human family, where the energy of the goddess took a step back to allow the masculine energy across the planet to come to the foreground. This shift eventually led to the fall of the Lemurian civilization, and later to the fall of the Atlantean civilization, and it brought us to the current state of the world we have today. This period of time, where the masculine became dominant and also quite unbalanced, has been called the time of patriarchy. A time where men held all the power, moral authority, social privilege, and control of property and wealth. It also led to a great control of women, their bodies, and their sexual energy. This is a time where the world was energetically out of balance, that led to growth being rather slow arduous and repetitive. This also led to the deeply ingrained collective belief that growth, and here I mean soul growth, was achieved solely through hardship, suffering, slog, sacrifice, and so on. That time is ending as the energy of the goddess returns. Now, I had a comment some time ago when I spoke about the return of the goddess, and the comment went something like, the goddess never left. Now, the energy of the feminine never left, but the power and authority of the goddess did. And it could only be summoned by those who knew the magical pathways to her presence. And those pathways themselves were declared by various religions as force, evil. And anyone caught by the dominant patriarchal religions could expect the severest of punishments. Now the goddess is returning, and her return is greatly aided by the opening of the portal of Sirius. Her return brings steady and unrelenting change to all old systems that still have their roots in the old patriarchy. This process of slow change has been going on since the 1960s, though greatly sped up in the 90s with a dramatic opening of the portal of Sirius. In ancient Egypt, Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky, was long associated with the goddess Isis. The ancient Egyptians viewed Sirius as the direct celestial manifestation of the goddess Isis in the night sky. The rising of Sirius, in its first visible appearance just before dawn in the summer sky, marked the sacred new year and the life-giving annual flooding of the Nile River. To the Egyptians, the flooding of the Nile was believed to be caused by the magical tears of Isis, who was crying over the death of her husband, Osiris. The constellation of Orion, which to the Egyptians was connected to Osiris, and Sirius, connected to Isis, moved together across the heavens, symbolizing the divine union of Isis and Osiris. As the portal opens, we can now reconnect to the rebalancing power of the goddess that returns not to dominate, not to turn the clock back to some golden matriarchal era. She comes to herald a new age of light. And this new age will not appear in some sudden solar flash, though the light of the sun, with all the light codes riding on solar light, is very active at this time, encouraging the movement towards a new age of light. This new age is first birthed within us, within the psyche, where there is a rebalancing, and in time a divine marriage between the animus inner masculine and the anima inner feminine. So, in a moment, we're going to do a meditation on the energy of the portal of Sirius and calling on the goddess Isis. Before we do that, I just want to mention three tracks, which is in my 5D members library. The first one is a 5D ascension exercise called Opening to the Light Codes of Lionsgate 8-8. The second one is a Golden Abundance and Lionsgate 8-8 transmission. And the third one, Lionsgate Transmission, Amplifying Your Vibration of Magical Success. So, ready for a meditation? Just focusing on your breath. And allowing that focus to bring you into the present moment. And I call your higher self to be with you. And to surround you in light, to hold you in light. Opening you to guides, angels working with you, and stellar races. Opening you to working with the incoming light of Sirius at this time. And also within this light, calling upon the power and authority of the goddess Isis. So just taking a moment to focus on that light, the light of Sirius. Still very intense at this time. And also the light of the goddess Isis. And I call on the power and authority of Goddess Isis to begin to restore the full sovereignty of your crown chakra. Restoring its sparkling light. Infusing your crown with the light of Sirius. opening the crown to its sacred power of communion with the universe. And in this opening, creating more space for the divine feminine and divine masculine. And creating space for that inner marriage between the two. Calling light now from Sirius into the third eye. And also the power and authority of Goddess Isis within the third eye. All layers and levels, restoring the sovereignty of your third eye chakra. Restoring the power of its sparkling light. Opening the third eye to its sacred power of vision. To see what is hidden. To see what your soul wishes you to see. Opening the space in the third eye for your inner feminine and inner masculine. Allowing a space for a sacred marriage between the two. Calling that light from Sirius into the throat chakra. All layers and levels. And also calling on the power and authority of Isis to restore the full sovereignty of your throat chakra. Restoring its sparkling light. Infusing the throat with the light of Sirius. Opening its sacred power of expression and manifestation. Creating more space in the throat for the feminine and masculine within. Creating more space for an inner marriage between the two. Inviting the light of Sirius into the heart center, all layers and levels. And also the power and authority of Isis. Restoring the sovereignty of your heart. Restoring its sovereign light, its sparkling light. opening the heart to its sacred power of love and connection. Creating more space for your inner feminine and masculine. Allowing the space for a sacred marriage between the two. Inviting the light of Sirius into the solar plexus chakra and calling on the power and authority of Goddess Isis to restore the full sovereignty of this center. Restoring its sparkling light. Infusing the light of Sirius all layers and levels. Opening its sacred power of creating healthy boundaries. Creating more space in this energy center for your inner feminine and masculine. Allowing the space for an inner marriage between the two. Inviting light from Sirius into the sacral chakra. And calling on the power and authority of Isis to restore the sovereignty of this center. Restoring its sparkling light, infusing it with light all layers and levels. Opening your sacral to its sacred power of intimacy and sensuality. Creating more space for your inner feminine, inner masculine. More space for the sacred marriage between the two. Inviting light into the power of your base chakra. Inviting the light of Sirius into all layers and levels of the base chakra. Calling on the power and authority of Goddess Isis to restore the sovereignty of your base. Restoring its sovereign light. Opening the base to its sacred power of connection with the sustaining power of the earth. Creating more space for your inner masculine, inner feminine. Allowing more space for an inner marriage between the two. Just breathing, opening, softening, relaxing. Feeling the light of Sirius into all seven chakras, all seven energy centers. Calling the power and authority of Goddess Isis into all seven centers. So just scanning each center in turn and noticing what color or colors are being radiated within each center, and they may not be the colors you expect. Trusting your first impressions. Notice the color and radiance of each energy center. Just allow an intensification of that radiance. Many blessings.
Many blessings, everyone.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And until we meet again tomorrow, 2:30 Mountain, 4:30 Eastern, we love everyone. Namaste.
Namaste, everyone.
See you tomorrow. Namaste. Aloha.